The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
I don't know why I grabbed the stool.
Why'd you grab two? You want me to sit up here all
No, I think you're good.
I can sit here and strum. I think you're like, good. When it gets powerful.
Did you already?
Let's practice it. Let's get to the biggest part of your message.
That's how some people do it, actually. It's not really how we do it here, but that's how some people do it. Hi, everybody. Did you have to add songs and do things?
Yeah, that... We don't need to talk about it
in front of everybody. I'll tell you what happened. What happened was I was teaching 2 Peter 3, 1 through 9 at Greer. But then, obviously, all week I've been studying 10 through 18. For here, and I told him on the front end, I said, listen, I can't get into all of it, so just listen. I'm going to go the rest of it, just listen online, because next week we're all in a different series. And then I got to the end, and I couldn't help myself. I just started teaching today's message over there, too, and so it's just a thing. I could have helped myself. I did not. Hi, everybody.
You didn't help?
You. Sorry, Brandon. So sorry. Hi, welcome everybody. If you're a guest, my name is Jason, one of the teaching pastors and elders here at Summit, and we're thrilled that you're our guest today. And it doesn't happen every week, it rarely happens, but sometimes I teach at Summit Greer because they have a 9 o'clock service, and then I drive the speed limit to here and I teach this service, and that's totally what happened today. I have my daughter with me, so it's all good. So sorry I'm a little late, but if you are a guest, I know it's probably already been said, but let me say it again. We're thrilled that you're here today and hanging out with us. There are a lot of great churches around, and the fact that you would come and be our guest today means a lot to us, so thank you so much for being here. A couple of things since we last met last Sunday that have been incredibly encouraging to me. Last Sunday night, right here in this room, we had Membership Connect, and we had about 60 people from all the Summit congregations come here, and some of them were just interested in learning a little bit more about Summit and why we do what we do, so it was great to have them. Some of those folks were interested in becoming team members here, like they want to officially join Summit Church, and so that's a part of the deal if they're interested in that. The process we have to become team members is not incredibly long, but we would say that it's intentional. And so we're excited that folks are still wanting to join and be a part of Summit. That's always an encouragement to us. And the whole team was together. Our staff team was together, and we were able to do it together. It was a lot of fun. I was supposed to leave that night. Some of you remember this. I was supposed to leave that night and fly to Syracuse, also part of my encouraging week. Before I left Membership Connect, I had to duck out a little early. Terry and I had to duck out a little early to go to the airport because our plane was leaving Sunday night. And so before I left, those of you that know me well know that I just don't have a great travel history. Like, things happen when I go places. And so there were some jokes made in front of all 60 people about traveling with Jason. Terry, how do you feel about traveling with Jason? It's not really that safe. Kyle gave testimony. He's traveled with me a lot. It's never safe. Just things happen. And so we all had a good laugh. Ha, ha, ha. And then we got to the airport, and when we went to check in at the airport, the lady said, Your flight's been canceled. So we drove back to Membership Connect. Like, any closing questions? Because we're back. So anyway, we had to get up the next morning and fly really early and flew up to Syracuse and spent a couple of days up there with some pastors and just an incredibly encouraging time. Pastors from Buffalo and Southwest Florida and Syracuse, obviously, and just a great time continuing to pray and process about what the Lord's doing around the nation and what he's doing around the world. And I'm just incredibly thankful to have partners in ministry. Some of those churches there in the Northeast, because of your generosity through the years, we've been able to support them financially, and that's fantastic. And so I want to thank you once again. It's neat to be in places where you see your generosity, our collective generosity at work, and what the Lord's doing to reach different parts of our nation. So incredibly encouraged by that. So thanks for your prayers when we're there. And then we mentioned it last week, and we prayed over some folks who are heading out on mission trips throughout the summer, but we have about 12 to 15 folks that are in Mexico right now from around our Summit congregations. My wife and daughter, my oldest daughter being two of those, they're having a wonderful time. I've talked with them, and everything is going really well. I think some of you were a little nervous about my wife leaving me here for a week. You've reached out. It's been very kind of you. With Kate, who is here today, like, we got her here. She's here. So that's good. I was nervous. I'll be honest. I was nervous as well. And then I went to Publix, and Bluebell was on sale. It's like 2 for $11. So I bought 17, and that's right, an odd number. And that's what Kate and I, we're doing great. We're doing really great. We're eating a lot of ice cream. She's brushing her teeth. I feel like I'm doing a good job. They're having a great time. They'll be back later on this week, so thanks for praying for them. Today we are wrapping up our study that we've been in, really since February, through 1 Peter and 2 Peter. I hope you found it to be an encouragement and a challenge. An encouragement in regards to, for some of you, things that you're currently walking through. And maybe this reminder that things that you're walking through, while part of your situation may be unique, it's also similar to what a lot of people have walked through throughout history, right? And I think there's this challenge in this study through 1 and 2 Peter. Not only an encouragement in what we're walking through, but a challenge to walk through those things in such a way that the gospel, the life-transforming message of the gospel, is put on display. Like, and I don't want to rush past this, what you and I believe to be true actually does impact decisions in life and how we process life and how you actually live the life that you're walking through and processing, right? And as we'll see today, what does it look like to do all of that, walk through life with intentionality, put the gospel on display, the good stuff and the hard stuff, to walk through that in such a way that we're intentional in the here and now, yet also living in light of, living with our eyes on eternity. I think that's the call of Christ followers, right? These Christians that Peter cares deeply about, I think I've reviewed this every week, but I've reviewed it every week on purpose. It's not because I don't have anything else to say. It's because what we're talking about here and how Peter is writing and to whom he's writing, like, I want us to, the best we can all these years later, really feel that. Like, he cares deeply about these Christians that are in the midst, that he's writing, that are in the midst of persecution and suffering. And he cares deeply for them, and he's writing them to encourage them to suffer well. But what he knows is that their suffering and their persecution will only increase in the days, weeks, months, and years to come from when he's writing them. And he writes them while he's in prison. And he writes them while he's in prison, knowing that he's not getting out of prison. He writes them while in prison, knowing that he will also soon give his life for following Jesus. He'll be crucified upside down for following Jesus. So he encourages these Christ followers to suffer well, to do good in the midst, of their society, in the midst of their city, in the midst of their culture, in the midst of their suffering, and to put the gospel on display while waiting for Christ to return. And then he writes again to warn those who are suffering not to listen, and this is really what all 2 Peter is about, not to listen to the false teachers in their midst, the ones that are telling them that Jesus isn't coming back, the ones that are telling them they might as well live for themselves, the ones that are encouraging them to be selfish at all costs and greedy at all costs, just like the false teachers, those the ones that are encouraging it, are also living. And from last week, when we were together, just this reminder from Peter that God is patient and that he desires for people, his creation, to continue to be redeemed. And so he waits. We talked about the reality of suffering Christians, those being arrested, those being killed, who I think their natural cry would have been, God, why aren't you coming back? Surely you can see what's taking place. Why are you putting off your return? What does it look like for us? Fast forward to 2018. What does it look like for us to wait well? If God is patient, how do we as followers of Jesus in this day and age wait well? If God is patient, how do we wait well in a culture that is constantly encouraging us not to wait well? Not only not to wait well for the return of Jesus, but not to wait well for anything. That's how we started our message last week, right? Efficiency, efficiency, efficiency. That's the culture that we live in. Time is money. Faster is better. Quicker is more important. Yet we find ourselves in relationship with a God who is described as patient. Everyone would have thought that Jesus was returning soon. Like, you can study through Scripture and you can see everybody was thinking it's right around the corner, right? I was thinking about this a little bit this week. Like, I don't know, maybe this is just me. I can remember being younger and hearing pastors talk about the return of Christ. And I don't know about you, but I automatically assumed that's happening while I'm alive. Right? Am I the only one? Now, I don't know when that began to shift for me, but I can honestly say, once I got past 40, I've been going, ah. Right? Some of you can relate. As a teenager, surely he's coming back pretty soon. This is horrible. Right? And then I got to my 20s. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's still coming back. I'm watching the news like any day now. And then I got to my 30s. Like, well, I don't know. And then I hit 40. I was like, man, I don't know. And I didn't talk about it a lot last week, but I think it's a good thing to talk about this morning, because the fact of the matter is what? Did he return while they were alive? No. He did not. He might not return while you're alive or I'm alive. Yet, just like they were called to remember and wait, right? Patiently hope. We too are called to remember and wait. Remember, we talked about that, remembering well, remembering what we know to be true, who we are in Jesus Christ, what has been promised to us, who we are securely in him, that he will return for us. And last week I talked a little bit about how hard it is to remember when we don't create the space to remember in a culture that's telling us to go, 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 go. But in our remembering and waiting, this is where we're headed this morning, there is a call to action. So it's not waiting in the passive sense, but waiting and remembering in the active sense. Because it's not that God has just left them, right? I think that's the other tendency that we can have to believe. The tendency we can have to believe is, surely he's going to come back while I'm alive. And he may. We talked about the imminent return of Christ. Well, he could come at any moment. And we should live expectantly. That's totally fine. I'm all for that. There's a difference between living expectantly and living impatiently. So that's one error that we can make. The other error we can make, though, is we can easily... And maybe you did this historically based on pastors that you listen to or whatever. You can fall into the mindset that he is out there and he will soon return. But until then, good luck to you. Just do your best. White knuckle it. Put your head down. Find a bunch of people who think just like you. Maybe vote like you. And just wait. Right? And I think that's the other reminder to us when we think well about, no, this isn't a passive waiting. This is an active waiting. And the reason that we can actively wait is because he hasn't left us. Yes, he's returning for us, but in his kindness, he has given us his Spirit who indwells us. He is with us. And so we wait. Yeah, we remember. We hold tight to the promises. Yes, but we actively do. From a place of understanding why we wait. Your life matters now. You'll see it again today. The importance of living an intentional Christ-centered life while we wait on Christ's return. Even in the midst of our waiting, he doesn't leave us alone. He calls us to something. And I think sometimes when you study through, I don't know, maybe just me, sometimes when you study through a passage of Scripture, there can be this, just this disconnect of that was for them back then. And so I don't want to rush past that today, especially as we wrap up our study here in 2 Peter. So let me ask you a couple questions. Do you sense, look at me for a second, do you sense that today matters? Do you sense that how you live today matters? How you live this life that God in his kindness and graciousness has given to you, that it actually matters. What you're doing with your days, no matter what your days consist of, because everybody's days consist of different things, and stages of life make our days consist of different things, that what you do every day for every day that he has given you on this planet actually matters in what it is that he is up to. Because it is easy, I don't know, it is easy to fall into routine. It is easy to think that it doesn't matter. It is easy to go through the motions of life till this life is over. It is tempting to be fixated on all the negative of your life personally or the negative of the world we live in. And I just want to lovingly encourage you today, because I think this is what Peter is doing as well. Today matters. Yes, with an eye on eternity, for sure today matters. As a matter of fact, without eternity in view, today won't matter. But with eternity in view, it matters so much. Today matters. Every day matters. Lynette Jennings and Doug last night sent me and Kyle a picture. I just saw you sitting back there, and it reminded me of this as I'm talking about this. Of us sitting on the hospital bed with Joe right before he started chemo. Was it three years ago? 4 years ago. And I looked at that picture, and the first thing I thought of was the faithfulness of God. Every day matters. Would they sign up for it as in, please put me down to walk through this over the 4 years? I don't know if they answered it that way. But would they trade it now that they've walked through it? Every day matters. They wouldn't trade it. I love how Peter ends this letter. Look at verse, I know I talked about 8 and 9, so I won't talk much about 8 and 9, but I want to read it within the context of 10. Is that okay? 2 Peter 3, verse 8. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. But he's patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance, right? So these are the verses I talked about last week, but I want to keep working through what Peter's saying here. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come, and it'll come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Verse 11 says, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Let's keep going, verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him, as he does in all of his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do other scriptures. Verse 17 says, you therefore, beloved, he keeps calling him beloved, I love it, knowing this beforehand, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. I like that. Amen. So, man, there's so much in these few verses. There's a lot that we could take a long time and talk about. And there's much that has been debated by a lot of theologians for a lot of years. That usually occurs when you begin talking about the return of Jesus. But I do believe there are a few things that I can share today without us getting, I'll use the phrase, lost in the weeds. Not that they're not important, but I don't want to spend all of my time on any one point and not be able to get through the passage. And I do, my desire is to articulate what I believe is the big idea of Peter here for these folks that he was writing all these years ago. If you look at verse 10, this is true. Do you see it? The judgment of God will come, and when he returns, it will be both surprising, it'll be sudden, and it'll be catastrophic. I want to read verse 10 to you again. But the day of the Lord, so he's been talking about the patience of God, right? In verses 8 and 9. God's not slow as some people call slow. He's very patient because he wants to redeem people, his creation, right? Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. So Peter is saying that when the Lord returns, it's going to be like a thief in the middle of the night. Everything, what he says is, everything's going to be exposed for what it really is. And I believe what Peter is articulating, along with what you see in other parts of the New Testament, is that God is going to renew everything that he created that had been messed up by sin. And there is some debate here, right? There's some people who believe that everything's going to get annihilated and start all over again. There's other folks, and I tend to fall into this category. I think it's supported as you continue to go throughout Scripture. Things are going to be renewed. I think that's the idea of what God does. I think he's going to renew that which has been distorted and jacked up by sin. Jesus and Paul had both used similar language in talking about the return of Christ in regards to it being like a thief in the night, the point there being that when he returns, it will be unexpected. And I think the point there is you can't calculate it. It could be any time, right? We talked about that last week, this idea of imminence. And again, he's saying this and he's holding it up against what the false teachers of the day are saying. What are the false teachers of the day saying? What they are saying is he's not returning. And he's saying you can long for it, you can pray for it, you can look forward to it, but don't be impatient about it. And again, Peter's pastoral heart here, I think, really comes through. He wants to remind them not to listen to the false teachers, that Christ will return. But he also wants to remind them about why God in his kindness and grace has yet to return. And the fact is, he wants more people to come to know him. And in these next few verses here, he talks about how they should live in the here and now, while keeping their eyes on eternity. And as I was studying this week, I was just reminded again, and maybe I said it when we were studying through 1 Peter months ago, I was just reminded again of how pastoral this is of Peter and how much you get a snapshot in what he's talking about here at his own spiritual formation. Do you see it? Like, I think it's the coolest. Like, here's a guy who has walked with Jesus for a really long time. Do you see the transformation? He's telling him to be patient. God's patient. Be patient. He's still redeeming people. And don't let it be lost on you that the guy who was writing this back when he first came to meet Jesus is such a bombastic, loud, arrogant hothead, isn't he? Like, that's who Peter was before he met Jesus. This is a guy chopping off people's ears. This is a guy saying, I'll never deny you. Only to what? Deny him. What does a life walking with Jesus look like? It looks like transformation. It looks like sanctification. It looks like I'm not who I was. It's the story of so many of you in this room. So here he is towards the end of his life. And what is the hothead saying? The hothead is saying, be patient. Be intentional, be patient. Verse 11, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be? Lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Yeah? So Peter calls on them once again, just like in 1 Peter and also in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, what's he saying? What he's saying is, how you live now really matters. So how should you be living? How should I be living? Interesting words that he chose. Peter chose the words holiness and godliness, growing in holiness and growing in godliness. Those are words of sanctification. Those are words of transformation. Those are words of life change, however you want to say that. But did you see what he said? He said, live in holiness and godliness while waiting for the Lord, but also live in holiness and godliness and hasten the coming of God. Yeah. This is what I mean by active. This is what I mean by intentional. Hasten his return. Look at me for just a sec. You, my friend, as a follower of Jesus Christ, are not called just to wait and waste your time. Every day that he gives you on this planet, every day, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, is to make much of him in the places that he's put you. It's for you and I to grow in what? Holiness, godliness. A life of sanctification, a life of transformation. And with a sense of intentionality, invite people into your life who have not yet to meet him to see how Jesus and the gospel changes all of life. Sometimes we make it very complicated. I don't think it's all that complicated. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm also saying it's not complicated. He's given you another day. He's given me another day. Those of you who have been with us for a while at Summit Church, you know this is the heartbeat of what we talk about. This is the church being the church. It is the reason that he has left followers of Jesus on this planet. Yeah, there is a reason that when you said yes to a relationship with him, whoop, he just didn't take you out of here. He left you. Why would he leave you? Why would he leave me? Because he's still redeeming people. What's his vehicle to accomplish his mission of redemption? The church, you, me, us. Living with a sense of intentionality where he has put us. Growing in holiness and growing in godliness. You have a purpose each day to walk in step with the Spirit of God, to enjoy God, and to continue to grow in Christ-likeness and interact with people in an intentional way that they would see Christ in you. Happy Sunday. And if you wake up tomorrow, happy Monday. That's it. And yes, all of this is marching down the corridors of history. It's all marching down the corridors of time. And while God is sovereign and knows when he will return, we are told by Peter and other writers of Scripture that God in his sovereignty uses us to advance his kingdom. That's unbelievable to me. If he is using us to make him known, and he will return whenever those he knows will say yes to him, say yes to him, then our praying for those that don't yet know Jesus and sharing the gospel with those that have yet to hear, or maybe they need to hear again about Jesus and the good news, like that becomes imperative. I didn't have the opportunity to go to my life group last week. Henry and Kristen were super kind and they led our life group last week. And last Sunday night, Henry sent me a text and the text said, today in life group, we prayed by name for 6 different people that those in our life group are doing life with that don't know Jesus, that they would come to know Jesus. What is that? It's the purpose of the church in the world. That's what it is. It's a group of people in this place that have said, I'm going to live with intentionality where God in his kindness and sovereignty has put me. And I need to say that, I want to say this really clearly in the midst of what we're talking about, because I don't want anybody to hear the wrong thing. Our hope in Christ, our confident assurance in Christ is not in our doing. It's not in the good things we do. It's not how our confidence in Christ is not in how much we pray. It's not in how much we share Christ. That's not our hope. That's not our security. Our hope and our security is firmly on God's promises. Verse 13 says, what is verse 13? According to his promise, what verse 13 says, according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, and righteousness dwells there because the righteous one dwells there. Your hope is not in your doing. My hope is not in my doing. Your hope is in him and he will return. So we do, yeah, and we share, absolutely, and we invest 100%, and we pray, yes, and we are intentional. Yep, every day matters, 100%. Your days matter, yes. Your life matters, for sure. your story of grace playing out where God in his kindness and sovereignty has put you. Like, this is what we call living in holiness and living in righteousness and gospel sharing intentionality, not to earn from God or to impress God, but from a place of being motivated by what he has done for us already through Jesus Christ and the promise of his return for us. Look at verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation. I love what Peter's doing here. He does it throughout chapter 3. So again, chapter 3. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, but he is patient. But don't allow his patience to lead to your laziness. Grow in him, live a life of transformation for others to see while waiting, because he is patient. And I don't know, maybe it just depends on you, depends on your upbringing, depends on your personality, depends on the transformation the Lord wants to continue to do in your life. We can just have this honest conversation with one another here. Maybe you can talk about it in a life group. Some of you may be tempted to err on the side of impatience, while others of you in the room may be tempted to err on the side of laziness. And you find yourself settled into the ways of this world. Because just as people can be impatient for the Lord to return, and you need to return, and you need to return, and why aren't you returning, and you need to return, and I can't believe how horrible everything is. And I've talked with folks about that, right? For those of you that are impatient and just put out at the fallenness and brokenness of this place, and when I mean fallenness and brokenness of the world I live in, I don't mean that that moves you to a place of prayerfulness. It moves you to a place of angst. It moves you to a place of bitterness. If everything you post on social media is about how jacked up and broken everything is and how perturbed you are by it, then don't be surprised when the people that you do life with who don't know Jesus don't want to talk with you about their brokenness. The flip side of that, though, can be not one of impatience. It can just be one of laziness. And you kind of like what you've built for yourself here. And in a moment of transparency and honesty, what you might say in the context of your life group or to those that are closest to you, what you might say is, actually, if he came back and pulled me out of here, I'd be a little disappointed because I got a pretty good thing going. Jason, do you really have conversations with people who think that way? I do. Yeah. I read this quote this week from C.S. Lewis. I just thought it was really good for those of us that maybe are happy with the world that we're building for ourselves here. C.S. Lewis said this: prosperity knits a man to the world. He feels that he is finding his place in it, while really it is finding its place in him. C.S. Lewis said some good stuff, didn't he? So lovingly as your pastor, here's what I say to you this morning: be diligent while waiting. Lovingly as your pastor, here's what I would tell you today: live intentionally while waiting. As someone who wants to walk with you for as long as the Lord will allow me to walk with you, grow in holiness and righteousness while waiting. Now, as I was studying through this passage and processing it over the past few days, there's this thought that I continually had that I wanted to just ask you. Who are you doing life with that is reminding you to live intentionally with your life while looking and keeping your eyes on the return of Jesus in eternity? I ask you again, as a follower of Jesus, who are you intentionally doing life with that you have given the freedom, the expectation, the invitation to regularly speak into your life and to remind you to live with intentionality while looking and keeping your eyes on the return of Jesus and eternity? Do you have people like that in your life? A person like that in your life? Because here's the deal. As a pastor of you and a friend of yours, like I long for you to have people that will encourage you and walk with you and challenge you in that way. Because it is imperative to living with intentionality where the Lord has put us. Hey, here's the deal. As one of your pastors, like, I see that as a part of my role in your life. And I embrace that. I want to be a voice in your life that reminds you that today matters in light of eternity. Your story of grace matters in light of eternity. But I also would acknowledge that oftentimes when we're talking, what that really means is I'm talking for 35 to 45 minutes, depending on the Sunday. So that can feel like a one-way conversation, can it? Now, some of you outside of this room, I also have a relationship with you, and these are kinds of questions that we can ask each other, and we do ask each other. But it's not realistic that I would have that kind of conversation with everybody that calls Summit Church home. And so we're constantly encouraging you to step into environments where you have those sorts of relationships. Because here's the deal. If you don't regularly have people in your life that will challenge you and encourage you and call you on living with intentionality with an eye towards eternity, then you will run off into either being impatient or run off into being lazy. I have some friends that help me with this. And I would tell you it's been one of the most strategic keys to my spiritual formation, especially over the last 10 or 11 years. Even this week, while I was in Syracuse, Dwight Smith, who's a mentor and a friend, he was talking with us pastors, not from 2 Peter 3, but it was interesting as I listened to him talk. I was like, well, that actually ties into what I'm teaching this week in 2 Peter 3. Because his reminder to us pastors as we sat in a room in Syracuse, New York, is that we are responsible to keep our eyes on eternity, and we're responsible as pastors to encourage you to keep your eyes on eternity. Not in a buckle up and wait on eternity sort of way, but live a life of influence right where you do life sort of way. Grow in the Lord and share the Lord with those that are around you. So here, I want to ask you, and I'll be done. Who in your life, I'd love for you to be able to name names. You don't have to shout them out to me. Just think in your mind. Who in your life is encouraging you and challenging you to push back on life? Can I say it that way? Who's encouraging you and challenging you to push back on life? And here's what I mean by push back on life. As far as believing what culture has to tell you about where true life is found. Who's regularly doing life with you close enough that when they listen to you talk, when they watch you respond, you have given them permission, not only permission, there is an expectation that they would lovingly push back on you. Do you have those types of people? And I think this is huge. Dwight talked about something the other day. He didn't talk long. He just said the words, and I was like, I got to mull on that a little bit. Because he talked about endurance in light of eternity. What does it mean to endure well? And he said, you know, there are places in the world today when the endurance is more about persecution, to endure well in the face of persecution. He said, in America currently, the issue isn't about enduring well in the midst of persecution. He said, it's about endurance in the face of license. What do you mean by in the face of license? That you live in a culture that says do whatever you want. However you want. I lovingly want to tell you that the world, and you know this, this is just a reminder for us as followers of Jesus today. The world you live in tells you 24/7 that you are the center of the universe. What you think is the most important. Your happiness trumps everything else. That is the world you and I live in. Who do you have in your life that lovingly pushes back on life? What does it look like, and who do you have in your life that will help you embrace the discipline of learning and growing and living in light of eternity? I capitalize living there because there is an activeness to waiting. I want to live now. I want to be active now. I want to be intentional now in light of eternity. And there's an embracing of that that we need as followers of Jesus. And then there's a discipline that goes with that as well, of learning and growing. Who in your life has come alongside you in that way? It was just a reminder for me again this week, and we talk about it a good bit, that so much of what God does in the world in redeeming people to himself, he does daily through you and me. Yeah. We're the vehicle. So who are you and I rubbing shoulders with, reminding you of these things, these truths? Who you got? You may sit here today and go, I got those people. You know what I tell you? You text those people, reach out to those people even today and say, thank you for being that kind of person in my life. Because that'll spur them on to continue to be that type of person in your life. For some of them, they may have no idea they're that kind of person in your life. And they'll go, oh, well, maybe I should be more intentional. I had no idea, right? So that's good. Let them know they're that type of person. This past week, I got a text from two different fellas of encouragement to me about influence in their life. Now, that isn't to pat me on the back. The reason I say that, like, this is the perfect example of what I'm talking about. It spurs one another on to continue to be that type of people in one another's lives. A refresher, a reminder. I think God knew that living for him in our culture and looking to eternity would not be easy. And I think it's just this reminder that he didn't call us to easy in the midst of easy. And I think, obviously, that God knew that Satan would constantly orchestrate attempts to kill and wound and destroy. I believe God knew that we would need to keep an extraordinary focus on that which appears to be delayed, even though it's right on time from God's perspective. And I think that God knew that our regular time with him in his word, walking in step with the Spirit, would be the plan and key to our ability to be diligent in the here and now while waiting and looking for eternity. May the Lord allow you to continue to be that kind of brother and sister in Christ. May the Lord bring brothers and sisters into your life that would encourage you in that way. Can I tell you something? One of the joys of, there's a lot of joys. One of the joys of pastoring here is that I regularly have people who will talk with me and they'll say, hey, if you have somebody who could use some encouragement, a little gospel focus, reminding, I'll be more than happy to be that type of person in their life. So you could be sitting here today and go, sounds good. I'm for it. I agree with it. I just don't have those type of people in my life. I would love to introduce you to some people who would like to be that type of person in your life. I really, really would. Because what's sweet about discipleship is, and it's a piece of discipleship, as people begin to speak that way into your life, it is fascinating to observe and see how you then begin to speak that way into other people's lives. And that's the story of a lot of you in the room. There was someone who was intentional about speaking into your life. And over time, as you are transformed, holiness and godliness taking shape, you begin to speak that into other people's lives as well. Would love to introduce you to some folks that would love to do that if that's your story, okay? Pray with me if you would. The band's going to come up. We're going to sing another song together this morning. But as they come, I just want to give you a moment of quietness there in your seat to contemplate. One, if you're currently pushing back on life, and all I mean by that again is what culture is telling you is life. Do you have people in your life that are encouraging you and spurring you on in that regard? Would Would you be willing to admit, just as you interact with the Spirit of God there in the quietness of your seat, that you tend towards impatience and that the world is horrible and negativity and angst? Or that maybe you lean more towards just passivity? Yeah, maybe you want to call it laziness. Maybe you have been tempted to think that your life doesn't matter in God's story of redemption. Maybe the reminder this morning for us is to be intentional where the Lord has put us. Take just a moment and pray there in the quietness of your seat, and then Brandon and the team will lead us.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.